and Jack Bonney from PiratePods.com.
And we're back from a long sabbatical. We have not been doing interviews for a while. We're glad to be back with Lofton Cora. Hey, Lofton.
How are you, man?
Good.
Right on.
And we are calling you from the U.S., but you are in New Zealand.
Yeah, and it's freezing here, dude. Like it's winter, eh?
Of you, right? Yourself, Brad, Francis, Stuart, and Dan?
Yeah, and four of those dudes are brothers. So.
And so who's Dan? How'd you guys hook up with Dan?
Dan's our token white dude. him and I, we met in a place called Queenstown. We used to do a lot of snowboarding together. One day he said he was looking for a singer. I wasn't singing at the time, but I was bored, and I still had a big love for music, so we hooked up, wrote a few tunes, and I said to him, hey man, you know, like, I've got some brothers, we should hook up with them. And he goes, oh, I got some brothers too. And I was like, nah dude, these are my real brothers, eh? And so we hooked up, and we've been going ever since, and it's been working out great.
Yeah. And you and your brothers have been playing music since you were little. I mean, I saw some of those pictures on your MySpace. It looks like you guys were like 5 years old. Is that right?
Yeah, well, my dad taught us at a really, really young age. He was quite harsh, actually. He's like, if we hit the wrong note, he'd slap our knuckles with a ruler.
Oh, my God.
If we went out of time as well. But, you know, of course, we're thankful for that now. But particularly Francis and Stuart, they used to go and do gigs with the old man, and he used to hide them behind the amps because they weren't allowed in there. They were so young. And but they've been playing on stage since they were like 6 or 7.
Wow.
Like 4-hour gigs too. Like, those cats had stamina. I remember turning up and watching them and just going, you know, this is funny.
Wow. So
to get those little babies on stage.
So, have you guys always loved reggae, or what got you guys into reggae?
Well, I mean, being Māori, which is our nationality, or the native locals of New Zealand, Māori people, there's always had this ethnic love for Bob Marley. I mean, we have had nowhere near the amount of same struggle, but we did make a connection with reggae music straight away. So, of course, being Māori, we grew up around reggae, but also we were deeply dedicated to our music. So I reckon it's 50-50. We also grew up a lot on hard rock and heavy metal.
Oh, yeah.
I reckon we're more metalers than we are reggae doers. But at the end of the day, you know, there's no difference either. It's just good, fat, heavy sounds that we really enjoy. So,
I mean, you guys are very popular in New Zealand, it seems. And you're playing with some, you know, some popular bands in the United States coming up here pretty soon. Is that right? Over in your
Man. I'll be honest with you. I don't know much about our band, eh? I just turn up and gig and play my heart out, basically. They just, like, even my brothers know more than I do. They're like, dude, we're going over the States. We're going to do it. Okay, like, sweet. Tell me when we get there and just give me the mic and let me go.
Yeah. And you're going to England soon, right?
Yeah, and we're heading off to England. And on the way through, we're going to stop off in Australia, which is really big stuff for us. You know, like, even though we've been playing music all our lives, in a way, it's just the beginning, you know? And we're bugging out, man. It's cool. It's really cool.
Have you guys been to the States before?
Dude, we haven't been anywhere past Auckland, which is in New Zealand.
Right.
So we're hanging out to come overseas. It's going to be a real eye-opener for us. You know, the whole thing, the learning experience, the getting away from home and stuff like that. But
I'm curious, how do songs come together for you guys?
Well, that's a good question, because how do we get together as well? We still live miles apart. Like, I live the very top North Island. Dan lives the very bottom of the South Island. Brand lives right in the middle. And the other boys live halfway between the top and the middle. Yeah. If we were to drive, we're all about 6.5 hours apart from each other.
Mm. Oh my gosh. Jeez. So you don't really get together for practice or anything then?
No, we've been together for 4 years as Cora, but we've had 5 rehearsals. And we'd enjoy it, man. It's scary. You know, it's the place to be.
You don't start, you know, throwing spitballs at one another or anything.
Yeah, it's pretty much it, man. We're just like, okay, look, dude. A lot of our songs were written from the audience. We'd be like, okay, pick a key. Cool. That's the key. Pick a tempo. Well, what are they up for, slow or fast? Oh, they want to go fast. Okay, let's make up a riff. Let's do it.
Oh, wow. That's good.
That's awesome.
And you then know each just other like, so well.
Well, that's so true. And the other thing is, particularly Bradley, Francis, and Stuart have all jammed in bands for most of their lives. For me, being the eldest, this is the first time I've ever jammed with them in this way. Usually I come home, we do the whole family jam, and then bugger off.
So your song Politician is my personal favorite.
Sure.
Yeah. So
any reason why?
I just like the political slants that are in it. And how everybody can identify with that. It's not necessarily about one time period. You can almost play it during any time period. But a fan question actually was, they want to know who wrote the song Politician and was there a certain event that inspired that?
Cool. Good question. Daniel and I wrote the song about 3 a.m. coming home after the pub and just sat down and just picked it up. And to tell you the truth, I mean, like, at the same time, the whole war thing was going on as well. I mean, particularly with Iraq and all that, and the state, well, George Bush to be more.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Thank you. We feel like it's so, sometimes we feel so like it's out of our hands, you know, so it's nice that
I know,
you can
you know
say
what?
That.
I feel for, I've got a lot of friends down in Queenstown from the States, and when I was at the time of, like, particularly 9/11, I was at New Zealand Drama School, and one of my best friends, Gene from Texas, he was beside himself. He couldn't stop crying, and, you know, he was trying to tell us about that America is not like that. And it's like, dude, you're living proof. We know that all of America isn't that way, you know. And
we get so embarrassed.
Don't be, man, because, like, look at the great work that Michael Moore does.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Bob Dylan, Neil Young, all your dudes, crew, your countries are sick, dude. It's awesome. You know what I mean? So, and to take it back to Politician, it had nothing to do with that, with George Bush. Huh. It was actually back in this country, there was this whole war going on between alcohol and marijuana. Alcohol, we think, should be illegal. And marijuana or weed should be just decriminalized, you know? I mean, how many fatal deaths and murders come off that? So that's what we wrote it about. There was stuff going on here. Like, we had one of the first politicians in the country who had long dreads. He was a Rastafarian. And he got hassled by all our politics, but he was just up saying, you know, Rastafarians have got a way of living as well, and it's actually quite peaceful. So we wrote it for this guy. And then, of course, George Bush came out, and it's like everyone started hitting us up. Hey man, great song about George Bush. It was just like, dude, what do you say? You know, it's like we've left the song really, really open. One, because we didn't want to talk about weed so openly, but two, there's a lot of other issues going on in our country, like land wars, and then again, you know, you got wars within your own relationship. At the time, Dan and I were, you know, having trouble with our girlfriends at the same time. So a lot of things, you know, coincided with that. But and at the end of it, what happened was an incredibly open song for everyone else. And it wasn't until people sort of reflected that back to us, it was like, true, dude, okay, cool. Politician, can you make a right decision for all of us, yeah. But will you walk the walk, or will you bring us comfort? Will you bring us comfort? You can talk the talk,
you bring us comfort? Will you bring us comfort? Pale, 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 politician, can you make a right decision for all of us? For all of us.
I'm curious, can you tell us, was it a particular song or a artist that made you fall in love with the reggae style?
For me, which I still sing often, it was definitely Bob Marley's Get Up, Stand Up.
Right.
Yeah. It's so righteous.
Stand up for your rights.
Yeah, totally, dude. And then, I mean, and for me, the same again. I never read it as in a political way. It was like, come on, Lord, get off your ass and do something, man.
Yeah.
Be it, whatever it is.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Well, you know? Music is so important to you. And like you said, you just kind of are that type of musician that says, just tell me when and where and I'll be there. And but if someone took music away from you and performing away from you, what would you miss the most about that?
I would miss the interaction with an audience.
It's That's powerful, what I mean. Huh?
There's a thing, it's not about, for me, like when you're playing music, it's not about me and it's not about them, you know, it's about us.
That's right.
There's this energy that happens in between us. That's what interests me. They throw it to me, I throw it back, you know. Every now and then they throw it away and we just all die.
Yes.
You know, and that's not their fault, probably because we sucked. And that's interesting too. You know, why?
Yeah.
Was I not listening?
A lot of the great musicians that we've interviewed have said similar things to that.
Yeah.
Have just said that, you know, it's not about me, it's not about them, it's about us together, because one without the other wouldn't be this.
Totally. I mean, I'm an actor as well. Francis and I both graduated out of New Zealand Drama School. And when we were in drama school, we realized the same thing, you know, like drama's no different from music. You need the audience. You need to work off, particularly in theatre. You know, I love live theatre. And it was the same thing, that intimacy, that something that you share. That's what I would miss the most, man, if they took it away from me.
Right.
The big they, right?
The ability to play, what my teacher would say, complicity. Or complicity. Yeah, the ability to play with people, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. So what's next for Cora?
Well, next for us would be to do the album. The album's nearly finished. The other thing is we're really happy. And the reason why we're really happy is because everybody's got their say. And so that's about it for us, just to get the album out. And we've done it all on our own, opened up our own label, bought our own studio, doing our own mixing. And there's a great comfort of that, you know. It's our baby.
That's right.
Well, you've come a long way. I mean, I got your music off of iTunes. So
sure. That's
really great that you got picked up by them.
Cool.
Yeah.
Power of the computer, man.
Yeah.
Blessing for dudes who are broke.
Yeah. I mean, how else would we... I mean, I guess you could send it other ways, but it's
sure. Nice
to be able to listen to people's music from the other side of the world so instantaneously.
Yeah, it's the best, eh? It's the best. Look at Miles Barkley.
Yeah.
I know, from that, it's just insane. It's awesome.
Yeah.
He's opened up a lot of doors for other musicians, which is fantastic.
So, Lofton, I'm curious, with you and the band members living so far apart, can you tell us how a song goes from a thought to an actual song? Like, the steps in which it works its way through there?
We pick a riff, or maybe we pick a line. The album that we're about to put out, our songs, most of them are over 2 years old. So they've just kept evolving and kept growing. And then it got to the point like, dude, we need to stop. You know, the song needs to just sit.
Right.
I mean, you can always redo songs. So what we do is have, when we turn up for a gig, we actually ask for a really long sound check.
Right.
And write.
Oh, cool.
And write under pressure.
You're like, go!
You know, most bands have only got like a 5-minute sound check. So what we try and do within our 10 to 15 minutes, and even while we're setting up, we're talking about how the song should go.
Wow.
And then what we do is we try it out. At the gig. And you can feel it, like I say, you know, that whole us thing. You can feel it. Oh, my God, they're dying. We're dying. Man, this is happening. Don't anyone forget it.
Well, you know,
because we don't record our gigs either. We don't video our gigs.
You don't?
No, we just hopefully try and, well, not hopefully, but for us, if it lives, man, it lives. You won't forget that, you know?
Yeah.
It's a very almost lazy way to play, but, you know, the difference between working, we should video it and work on it and work on it, but we're not together enough. So we have to hit it and hit it as hard and as fast as we can. This actually sounds really cool now that I'm talking about it. I've never really explained it in that way.
It's so, very unique, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, probably only something that brothers could do, but...
Yeah, I mean, we tried to come up with, nah, we've worked really hard and da-da-da, but nah, there are some times where we just know we're a unit.
Aww.
We'll be playing a riff and we'll just look around and I'm just like, dude, you know, especially me for an eldest brother, I've had every one of them when they were born.
Yeah, so what do your parents like, think of having all these sons being in a band? So they're happy about it then, right?
Cause they they're so totally happy. To tell you the truth, our parents are happy because we're happy.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't so much because we're doing music and we're, I wouldn't even say we're doing great things, we're just really happy with the way things are going. And, you know, my mum, the old lady, will be like, I don't really like this song, and just walk out of the room. It's like, oh. Yeah, thanks for the slap in the face. But she goes, as long as you boys are happy, that's cool.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, well, they're really supportive, you know. They still drive Brad and Francis to the Brad and Stewie to the airport, you know, to go to gigs. And
that's right.
So do you guys play in Auckland a lot then?
To tell you the truth, we play mostly over summer. Because there's a lot of festivals, which is a lot of good work, a lot of gig work and stuff like that. Winter, we have a break because we need the break. So in 3 months, we did something like 56 gigs, which is huge in New Zealand. And that's all over the place. We try not to saturate ourselves because New Zealand's so small.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we don't play Auckland a lot. We don't play anywhere a lot.
And you live up there in the Bay? Well,
the boys live in the Bay of Plenty.
Uh-huh.
Which is east of New Zealand, the east coast, and I live up north. I live up north, and my brother lives in Wellington, which is the capital, and then Nan lives down in Queenstown, which is way down in the mountains. And we really, really enjoy it. We enjoy where we are, and that's what we think why it's working. We are aware that we're brothers. If we did live together in the same town, see each other every day for a practice, I don't think we'd kill each other, but we just wouldn't get on. You know, I don't think the magic would be there. There's nothing like getting off at the airport and there they all are. It's like, yeah, let's do it.
Yay. Right. Recharge.
Yeah, it is. It is a constant recharge. So.
Cool. Locked you know, in.
And it's the same. We're just listening to what's going on, really.
Well, it was happening. So cool talking to you.
Man, thank it's you. Been a pleasure. Thanks for having me. Hey, the both of you, it's been cool as.
Yeah.
I tell you, man, I'm bugging out. You've got these two American accents on my cell phone. Live as well. It's like, yeah.
Well, I love making my phone call interviews or, you know, calling people around the world, hearing their different accents. It's so cool, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll see you in the United States sometime.
Totally. Man, I'd love to catch up and have a pint.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe watch the All Blacks play the what?
Wallabies.
Wallabies. How's that? Like New Zealand's only known for the Lord of the Rings and the All Blacks. It's so funny.
That's so funny.
That's when we were there last time. There was this big championship between the two, and we were just like, oh my God.
Rugby's just our history, you know.
Rugby seems tough.
Yeah, man. Oh, yeah. The male thing here is still so big.
Well, we'll definitely have a pint next time we get together. And thank you so much.
Oh, kia ora, man. Kia ora to the both of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
One day when I get my act right, I will choose to let go. Someday when I get my facts right, I will choose to let you know. Come play when I get my tracks tight, jump into the next floor. Some say I should get my stats right, I will choose not to show.